Okay, let's set the scene. It's 4 in the morning, Shenzhen time.
Right, the city's basically dark.
But there's this one user logged in as high-dimensional cat, and they are wide awake.
Yeah, staring at a terminal window, they hit commit, push to GitHub, and just like that, everything changes.
A repository goes live that might just dismantle the entire economic model of, well, of Silicon Valley.
It sounds so dramatic, I know. And usually, code leaks or minor things, a password, maybe an API key gets out.
This was not that.
No, this was the full release of DeepSeek V4, also known as Model 1. And the key thing is, this wasn't like a press release from one of the big US labs.
Which are always full of marketing fluff and almost zero technical detail.
Exactly. This was the raw architecture, the how.
And that's what we are unpacking today. We've gone through the technical docs from the repository itself, the audit logs from this analyst, Inspector Gemini, and the market reports from Morgan Stanley that came out right after.
Because buried in all that code is a claim that basically challenges the fundamental law of the AI industry.
The law that says scale is everything.
Right, the bigger is better doctrine, the whole idea that to get smarter AI, you need $100 billion data centers.
And a personal nuclear reactor to run them, and just hundreds of thousands of NVIDIA H100s.
And this leak just says, no, you don't.
It suggests the barrier to AGI isn't $1 trillion of hardware, it's just smarter code.
And if that's true, I mean, it's a huge technical win for the open source world, but for a company like NVIDIA, it's a commercial
You
nightmare.
can see the tension right there. It's software efficiency versus hardware brute force.
And if you can get GPT-4 level performance for a tiny fraction of the cost, well, the math on Wall Street just completely breaks.
So let's get into the evidence. We have to figure out if this is real or if it's just, another flagship killer that gets announced on Twitter every week.
Well, the first validator wasn't even the code, it was the reaction to it.
The 4. ZIM upload.
Yeah, within 3 hours, that repo had over 40,000 stars on GitHub.
That's insane. Most projects take years to get that kind of traction.
The traffic was so intense, it actually, for a moment, de-dazed Microsoft's own
A
servers.
frenzy. But what were people actually downloading? Because usually, when a company like OpenAI releases a model, they're not giving you the model.
No, not at all. They give you an API endpoint. You send them text, they send you text back. You never, ever see the engine.
You're just renting the intelligence.
Precisely. This leak, though, it included the config.json files, the model weights, everything. It's the difference between letting you test drive a Ferrari and handing you the actual blueprints to the engine.
And when the analysts looked at those blueprints.
They found the first big anomaly. The hardware it was trained on just didn't make sense.
Right, because the assumption, the absolute bedrock assumption, is that to train a model that competes with GPT-4, you need a massive cluster of H100s.
That's the gold standard. But the config files suggested this model was not trained on H100s. It was most likely trained on a cluster of older, slower chips.
Probably the A800s.
And most certainly the 800s.
And just to remind everyone, the A800 is that sanctions compliant chip, right? The sort of watered down version NVIDIA is allowed to sell to China.
Exactly. It has much lower bandwidth. So logically, you shouldn't be able to train a state-of-the-art model on crippled hardware. Or, I mean, it should take you a decade.
And this is where that whole sanctions backfire theory comes in.
It is, because they couldn't just throw raw power at the problem. They didn't have the hardware. They were forced to get clever with the software.
Hardware constrained, so they had to be software ingenious.
You got it. They couldn't compute their way out, so they had to architect their way out. And that brings us to the two big innovations in the code, MLA and this ultra granular MoE.
Okay, let's drill into those. This is where the real insight is. Let's start with MLA, multi-head latent attention.
So older models like Llama 3 or GPTs, they're all built on the standard transformer architecture, which is powerful, but it has this one very specific, very painful weakness.
Memory.
Memory. It's a huge bottleneck called the KV cache, key value cache.
You see this term everywhere in the research papers. KV cache. Let's just demystify it for a second. What's it actually doing?
Okay, so think of the model like it's a person reading a really long book. As you read, you have to remember the context, right? The characters from chapter one and the plot twists from chapter five.
Sure.
A standard transformer stores a massive, completely uncompressed table of everything it's read so far in that conversation.
So it's like a perfect high fidelity recording of the entire chat history in its short-term memory.
Exactly. And that table is huge. As the conversation gets longer, let's say you paste in a 50-page PDF for it to analyze, that table just explodes in size.
It eats your VRAM. your video RAM.
Instantly. It's why if you've ever run a local LLM on your own computer, it starts off fast, but then as the chat gets longer, it just slows to a crawl.
And then crashes with an out-of-memory error.
That's the one. The model isn't dumb. Its working memory is just full.
Okay, so this is where MLA, DeepSeek's approach, changes the game.
It really does. Instead of storing that massive raw table of memory, MLA compresses the KV cache into something called a latent vector.
Okay, so back to the book analogy. Instead of memorizing every single word on every page it's read, it's writing down a super efficient summary.
That's a great way to put it. Or think of it like taking a huge raw video file and just zipping it. You keep all the essential information, the meaning, but the file size just plummets.
And the numbers on this from Inspector Gemini's analysis were kind of unbelievable.
They are. The claim is this results in the model occupying only 5% of RAM that a rival like Llama 3 would need.
Hold on. 5%. That's not a small improvement. That's not 20% or 50% better. That's a 20x reduction in the memory footprint.
It is staggering. And that number is the key to why this model can run on consumer hardware, which we'll get to. By compressing the memory, they decouple the compute from the memory. You don't need 80 gigabytes of VRAM just to remember a long conversation anymore.
Okay, that solves the memory problem. But my question is, when you compress things, you lose fidelity. If I zip a video too much, it gets all pixelated. How does this model keep that GPT-4 level intelligence if it's squishing its memory down so much?
And that's the perfect question, because it brings us to the second pillar, the ultra granular mixture of experts, or MOE.
Now, MOE isn't a totally new idea. We're pretty sure GPT-4 is a mixture of experts model. The concept is, basically, instead of one giant brain doing everything, you have different specialists.
Exactly. Like a hospital, you send the patient to the right specialist. You don't want the foot doctor doing brain surgery.
Right.
But the way you implement it matters. A traditional MOE model might have, say, 8 or maybe 16 really big experts. DeepSeek went in the completely opposite direction. They chopped the model into 256 tiny, hyper-specialized experts.
Ultra granular. That name makes sense now. It's a level of precision we just haven't seen.
Precisely. And here's the efficiency metric that should really matter to any engineers listening. The model has 671 billion parameters in total. A huge number.
A monster.
But, and this is the key, for any single word it generates, it only activates about 37 billion of those parameters.
Let me just make sure I'm getting that right. Total parameters versus active parameters. So it has a library of 671 billion facts.
Yeah.
But to answer my question, it only needs to pull 37 billion of them off the shelf.
You've got it. It creates this huge disconnect between the training size and the inference cost. The source even uses this analogy that it sips electricity rather than gulping it, because it's not firing up every single neuron for every thought. It's surgical.
If you ask it for a Python script, the 18th century poetry expert just stays asleep.
Costs you zero energy.
And this efficiency directly explains the cost data in the leak, which was, I think, the most shocking part of the whole report for me.
Oh, absolutely.
We've all seen the estimates that training GPT-4 costs well over $100 million in compute.
Yeah, some estimates go as high as $190 million.
The leaked documents suggest DeepSeek V4 was trained for about $6 million.
And that is the number that has executives in Silicon Valley sweating.
$6 million? I mean, that's a Series A funding round for a startup. It's not a Google-sized budget. That's a budget a university research lab could pull together.
It completely commoditizes intelligence. If you can build a frontier, top-tier model for the price of a fancy apartment in New York, the moat that companies like OpenAI and Google have built.
Which is really just their massive bank account to buy chips.
That moat just evaporates.
It flips the whole narrative from who has the most money to who has the smartest code.
Exactly. Which brings us to that Toyota Corolla versus Ferrari analogy in the source.
Right. It says, when you can reach the destination in a Toyota Corolla, why buy a Ferrari?
If the Corolla gets you there just as fast and costs a 20th of the price to run, the economics of the entire industry have to reset.
And this isn't some theoretical reset. We saw it happen in the market in real time. When this news broke, NVIDIA took a massive, massive hit.
Panic is probably the right word. NVIDIA's stock dropped 12% in pre-market trading. AMD, TSMC, they all took hits too.
And you have to understand why. NVIDIA's valuation is priced for absolute perfection. It's based on the idea that demand for H100s will be infinite because models will just always get bigger.
They're selling shovels in a gold rush, and they're assuming the gold is always getting deeper, so you'll always need bigger shovels.
That's a great analogy. But DeepSeek just showed up and said, you can find gold right near the surface You just need a better metal detector.
And if the big cloud providers, Google, Microsoft, Amazon, realize they can cut their data center costs by 50% using this kind of architecture, that is a direct catastrophic hit to NVIDIA's revenue stream.
I'm looking at the Morgan Stanley analyst quote right here.
Right.
They projected a potential 40% revenue contraction for NVIDIA by 2027 if this architecture becomes the standard.
For a growth stock like that, that is a bloodbath. It signals a major shift from growth at all costs to efficiency is king.
There's also this geopolitical irony here that we have to talk about. The U.S. sanctions on high-end chips, they were designed to stop China from developing AI.
The logic was simple. If they can't get the H100s, they can't build the best AI.
It's the classic law of unintended consequences, isn't it?
Completely. By cutting off the supply of brute force, the U.S. basically forced Chinese engineers to optimize. Meanwhile, American labs, who are swimming in H100s, arguably got lazy.
They just solved problems with more hardware because they could. They didn't have to optimize their code to this insane degree.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
And restriction is the mother of efficiency.
So we have this paradoxical situation now where the U.S. has the superior hardware, but the superior software architecture, at least for memory efficiency, has come out of the constrained environment.
It's a fascinating twist, but I want to pivot this to what it means for you, the listener, because we usually talk about these models living far away in the cloud, but because of that memory compression, this isn't just for servers anymore.
This is the consumer breakthrough moment. Because that memory footprint is so low, remember that 5% figure, you can actually run this model locally.
Okay, when you say locally, what kind of machine are we talking about? Do I need to build a server rack in my basement?
No, not at all. The breakdown shows that a quantized version, that's the model compressed down to 4-bit precision, runs comfortably on a single NVIDIA RTX 5090.
Okay, a 5090 is the new top-of-the-line card. It's expensive. But what about the cards people actually have now? A 3090, a 4090?
It is viable on those too, as long as you have enough system RAM. The source suggests 32 GB of VRAM is the sweet spot, but the point is, you can fit this high-level intelligence onto consumer-grade hardware.
Wow. And we're not talking about some dumb chatbot that starts making things up after three sentences. We're talking about GPT-4 class reasoning.
Running offline. On your desk.
No internet connection needed. No data leaving your house.
That's what some people are calling the privacy singularity. Think about it. For law firms, for medical researchers, for anyone who is just privacy conscious, having that level of AI completely air-gapped from the internet is a product that basically didn't exist a week ago.
And it's easy to set up. You don't need to be a programmer.
Incredibly easy. The source points to tools like Llama or LM Studio. You aren't compiling code. You're not managing dependencies. You are literally opening a terminal and typing one command. Llama run DeepSeek v4.
I love that. It takes the power away from the gatekeepers. You don't have to wait in line for OpenAI to grant you access to their next big model. You just download it.
It democratizes intelligence. Inspector Gemini calls it a gift to the open source community.
Yeah.
And a slap in the face to the Silicon Valley monopolists.
It feels like the gap between the closed labs and the public didn't just close, it kind of inverted.
Yeah, for a consumer, you can now run a model at home that rivals what you get from a paid API. That time lag between the labs and the public is just gone.
And that raises a really interesting economic choice for every single person listening.
Right. We're moving from a rental economy to an ownership economy for AI.
And that's the core question, isn't it? Do you want to pay $20 a month forever to rent a brain that lives in some data center where they can see your data and change the model whatever they want?
Or do you invest in the GPU, download the weights, and own the intelligence yourself?
Rent the brain or own the brain. That's a powerful shift.
It is. And if this trend of efficiency keeps going, you know, if we see a DeepSeek v5 or a Llama 4 that pushes this even further, we might look back on this whole era of massive data centers as just a temporary blip.
A weird phase before AI really moved to the edge to your own devices.
Exactly. The real winner here isn't one country or another. It's not China or the US. It's computer science itself. It's proof that you can always find a way to do more with less. It's a victory for pure optimization.
Well, I have a feeling RTX 5090s are going to be a little hard to find this week.
I suspect you might be right.
Thanks for diving in with us. We'll see you next time.